Republic Investor 12-03894, found in bad faith for telling truths Wall Street wants covered up. I prefer being called six-pack Sally swinging at low-hanging fruit on Wall Street. 9 years ago, after the Securities Exchange Commission asked me to be their investment client whistleblower, we are 3 months out from the sentencing of Don J. Bennett, also known as the Hoodoo Investment Advisor. Yes, hoodoo, as in voodoo, as in spells. Yes, she paid $860,000 plus of investment client cash taken from elderly victims in the window limited by the Securities and Exchange Commission, the window limited to the years 2015 to 2017. This does not include all victims from 1980s to 2015. Of course not. The SEC and FINRA do not tell cops, which is why we have a podcast. We tell cops. This has been quite a week. Baltimore State Attorney Marilyn Mosby filed to vacate 3,778 pot convictions using a legal tool, Maryland versus Maryland, filing in state court to vacate the possession of marijuana charges to fight an extraordinary wrong. Mosby, a champion of the underdog, a champion of the simple man on the street, a champion of victims put in court under drug and other charges for decades of their life. What Marilyn calls a sordid history of marijuana prohibition lies in ethnic and racial bigotry. Well, I've also been feeding Marilyn and her SAO, state attorney's office, I've been feeding her bits and pieces and updates on the Don Bennett matter, the trial that took place in Greenbelt, Maryland, a model of cases taking down decades of FINRA, of Financial Industry Regulatory Authority, abuse of law and deception of investment clients. Now, if Mosby's petition is granted, it acknowledges an error of fact in the 3,778 cases and wipes out the pot possession convictism. Now, Marilyn did know that it was Don Bennett's case that allowed me to see patterns, set the model that facilitated former Virginia Governor Terry McAuliffe to restore voting dignity to hundreds of thousands of Virginia felons who served their time. I showed Marilyn what I showed Terry, that the Don Bennett's crimes went on for decades, called something other than crime. AWC. Oh, in time I will tell you what AWC represents and how it allowed the Don Bennett's of Wall Street, the Bernard Madoff's of Wall Street, the wolves of Wall Street crimes to be covered up for decades. Jamie Dimon, J.P. Morgan Chase's CEO, his company JPMCC, J.P. Morgan Clearing Company, clearing cash for clients of Don Bennett's through a brokerage, Western International Securities, that had no access, no agreement with Don Bennett or with victims, or an agreement between J.P. Morgan and the victims, naming Western as a recipient of monies that are shared back and forth between the clearinghouse and the brokerage, J.P. Morgan, knowing all of these details, well, he goes to Davos and he helps people understand what the difference is between a Davos millionaire and billionaire class and middle class, and I guess they would see us as being no class. In 2016, Jamie Dimon, the guy who's JPMCC, JP Morgan Clearing Corporation, cleared cash of clients without any agreement. Dimon said Davos is where billionaires tell millionaires what the middle class feels. Emoji pose, finger on the cheek, finger on the chin. How would Dimon know? When confronted with JP Morgan Clearing Corporation's role in facilitating the crimes of Don Bennett and Western International Securities Investment Securities Brokerage Firm, not the investment advisory, I will explain why in a second. When faced with letters, when faced with documents, as I did, do you know what Jamie did? He didn't say sorry, a good place to start. He didn't say I apologize, a good place to start. Quietly, silently, in the stealth of the night, Jamie Dimon closed, shuttered, locked up, made it go away, J.P. Morgan Clearing Corp, both the investment advisory firm and the J.P. Morgan securities broker dealership shuttered, 2016. Well, my letters are in the record and made public of what I share to Jamie Dimon. Shuttered. How would Jamie Dimon even know what the middle class is, let alone what the middle class feels, doing something as dastardly as that? Trust me, I do tweet out to Jamie and his associates, he's never running for president. I stand out there. My papers stand out there, shared widely. So as investment clients, we cannot prepare for potential problems the middle class feels that billionaires and millionaires would not feel. And as the middle class, we cannot avoid common mistakes. We cannot avoid to be victims. We don't have the cushion of billionaires and millionaires. We lose as investment clients because we don't have insider information on how to develop an advanced comprehensive plan for our savings. We have no timetable as to things that might happen, such as Jamie Dimon shuttering J.P. Morgan Clearing investment advisory firm and securities broker dealers firm in 2016, pursuant to my letters to them, letters showing bluntly, crazily, obviously, clearly, and on Wall Street papers, that the investment advisory firm of J.P. Morgan Clearing ceased to exist in 2016. The same 2016 when in Davos, J.P. Morgan's CEO, Jamie Dimon, said, Davos is where billionaires tell millionaires what the middle class feels. Oh, I think I've gotten a bit of a spunk in being able to tell what the middle class feels. As investment clients, we cannot prepare for potential problems. We cannot avoid common mistakes. And as investment clients, we lose because we don't have the crystal ball of those billionaires in Davos, the crystal ball that will help us develop a comprehensive plan for our savings, nor a timetable, nor a realistic budget, because, well, all the money the billionaires and millionaires spent on their fancy consultants, paid media advertisements, polling and not enough time or money speaking to us investment clients. They're busy raising money for their campaigns. We don't have the insight they have because their insight is actually intentional. Steps they are taking, it's intentional. They know where their right foot is going to step and their left foot is. To you, to me, investment clients, life on Wall Street is like walking on a gangplank. We don't know when the end is going to be there. We're blindfolded. Blindfolded. We do not see what is going on behind the desk, the back room, in the mind of the person that we just turned our life over to, our identity over to, our money over to, and most deviously, our trust. And these people, these billionaires and millionaires that Jamie Dimon boasted about in Davos, they don't answer us properly. They give us continuing negative information. And I gotta tell you, they learn in time from us that ignoring a continuing negative issue won't make it go away. This is true for DMV, DC, Maryland, and Virginia politicos. I've shared with you my story of providing the way forward for former Virginia Governor Terry McAuliffe to secure his signature move in all of his years in Virginia politics. Those papers bottom left of Terry's official portrait, they should have my name there. Carrie did this. Terry did not. And most despicably to me, to someone who grew up in the business of content and attribution, Terry did not attribute. His staff did not attribute. Look, let's be real. Not attributing does not make the truth go away. It makes the truth more dangerous to someone who's got an agenda. I think Terry keeps on saying he's teasing a presidential run. And the last time I saw Terry here in the new National Landing at a DCA live event, I did remind him with a smile on my face, I said, I stand between you and the White House, the Oval Office. Northam's fraud on voters is a good step back in to let Virginians know it was a conservative who restored voting dignity to hundreds of thousands of Virginia felons who served their time. It wasn't a Democrat. It wasn't. It was a conservative. But that shouldn't make a difference. A man, a woman who is deserving of good, deserving of right being and wrong being righted, deserves just that. Politics should not matter unless it was a political party that knew the conservative leaning of the provider of information and said, oh, heck, this will win an election for us. It did, didn't it? Well, I reminded Terry also at the DCA Live event, voters come in all shapes, all sizes, all faiths, all colors, all beliefs, and all political parties. So I learned what I did, what I shared with Terry, because it was the right thing to do. I learned what I did after the Securities and Exchange Commission asked me to be their investment client whistleblower in 2010. And what I learned, and what I learned too late, is the SEC, the Securities and Exchange Commission, has none engagement authority with investors. I figured that out. I figured more out. Hence, I was able to write the way forward that I wrote, that I walked Terry McAuliffe's team through, giving the Democrats the win. Terry McAuliffe failed achieving. I achieved it. Now, couple that, my achievement, with Ralph Northam, the current Virginia governor, miming to be anti-racism, coupled with The letter I received from the Virginia Securities Regulator in 2015, where they say Ree Bennett Group Financial Services and Don Bennett, that they're taking no action, that they saw no wrong. Witnesses, victims. The years 2015 through 2017, 43 elderly men and women, including Virginians, were drained of life savings from someone the Virginia Securities Commission turned its back on, a criminal operating in their state that was known to the Fairfax police, to the lieutenant governor's office, to every office that had a dog in that fight. Possibly no one did anything. I believe firmly the state of Virginia, the Commonwealth, with Dr. Ralph Northam being exposed, is ready the state for more truths. After all, felons are nonpartisan. The theft of idea without attribution is still theft of idea without attribution. Why not the state right this wrong too? Oh, I do look forward to hearing your thoughts, and I keep stressing history. I keep stressing we should get familiar with history. Become familiar with history, because history repeats itself. It's important to understand how we got to where we are now. Not too long ago, Secretary Mike Pompeo delivered his address by remote to the World Economic Forum. History repeats itself. The World Economic Forum is not a new construct. The World Economic Forum is a recycle, an old idea under a new name. The World Economic Forum was preceded with the World Economic Conference. The World Economic Conference, under the oversight of President Roosevelt, shaping America's economic policy, called Roosevelt's Monetary Experiment, best known for his War of the Worlds. Author H.G. Wells, in his 1933 book, The Shape of Things to Come, details the London Conference, poking fun at what Wells called incompetence of the conference participants, warning the world of what Wells said then were dire consequences. Wells called his chapter that was relevant to the London Conference, the London Conference, the crowning failure of older governments, the spread of dictatorships and fascisms. Well, the World Economic Conference, a London meeting of representatives of 66 nations, was an idea percolated under President Hoover. It was the League of Nations. We know it today as the United Nations. And the purpose of the World Economic Conference was to have the nations win agreement on how to stabilize currency, exchange rates, fight the Great Depression, and to revive international trade blocked by debts the governments had after World War I. The war was fought. Countries sought reparations from Germany, the instigator. Six nations, including France, England, and America, met up in Geneva in 1932, where the conference agenda was drawn up. Debts weighed down the talks. Wells said, if you fell down yesterday, stand up today. If you fell down yesterday, stand up today. Decades later, the nations found themselves back at the drawing board in Geneva again, this time under the moniker of the World Economic Forum. The World Economic Forum, the WEF, began in the 1970s. The WEF alleged the World Economic Forum, based in Cologne, Geneva, Switzerland, was founded in 1971 as a not-for-profit organization, that it gained formal status in January 2015 under the Swiss Host State Act, confirming the role of the forum as an international institution for public-private cooperation. The forum's mission is cited as committed to improving the state of the world by engaging business, political, academic, and other leaders of society to shape global, regional, and industry agendas. Lords of Finance, the book says it differently, writing that Davos factored into world finances decades back. The foundation behind Davos's annual Davos Forum has shifted. It's expanded the Davos programming from the financial crisis of World War I to include issues like globalism and its problems. So they say, Davos has evolved into an event playground of the rich, the famous, the elites advocating for equality of things that do not seem to get done other than act as a playground for those jetting in from everywhere. While Wells was a fiction writer, Wells wrote serious words, adapt or perish. Now as ever is nature's inexplorable imperative. The hopeful side of H.G. Wells wrote, when I see an adult on a bicycle, I do not despair for the future of the human race. And then along came 2019, and Congressman Newby Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, AOC, as she's known around the Hill, Congress, a congressional freshman, she's raising ire, raising anger in Congress, knowing her Twitter-like ability, despite having no seniority and little support from her caucus, she's setting off a firestorm, multiple firestorms on multiple fronts, baited by her words that should not deserve serious consideration. That said, the same was said about Hitler, whose rise to prominence set Germany into debt to the League of Nations that failed, that resurrected as the United Nations. Wall Street says what Wall Street does, that it's all about the customer journey. Wall Street funds studies to get ahead of the law, to get into the pants, pockets, and purses of patrons paying to get results. Wall Street does with their studies. They pay to get questions asked, answered, before we know that we're going to ask or answer them. Wall Street is funding think tanks to look for keywords, buzzwords, and passwords to get into the psyche of investment clients that are turning trust, turning life savings over to, when it really comes down to it, strangers. Friendly faces and all, strangers. These studies are designed, released to support the Wall Street agendas. The results sought are in mind before the study even starts. Financial Brand's Top 10 Retail Banking Trends for 2019, its annual survey report, said it concluded the importance of innovation was also a trend that increased in importance, continuing to say, for the first time ever, the use of data, artificial intelligence, AI, and advanced analytics was ranked first, replacing improving the customer experience as the number one trend. Do you hear that? We've been replaced. We don't count. The algorithm, the artificial intelligence that gets us to do what they predict we will do, that's what counts. There's no statement in the study results as to who is the population that was questioned. Was it the consumer, the investment client, or was it the person wanting the money from the pocket of the consumer? The coincidence of this survey to the rise of technology, collapsing the consumer experience of nose-to-nose experiences of seeing, surveying who your advisor is, where they work, those days are almost gone. I was trained. It's called eyeballing. We have to go online to ask any question we want these days. We have no choice when the phone numbers are turned off. The customer service numbers are gone. We have no nose-to-nose. Well, unless you're willing to make a trip to Malaysia or Ireland or Nova Scotia. Those days have been going, gone since the late 1990s. Prudential Securities and RBC Dane Rauscher had their investment clients moved online as far back as 1998 document. My personal experience with being put online by my former investment advisor, Scott Sangerman, over at RBC Dane Rauscher. Those documents are in the public record. I made so sure of that what I was going through should never happen to yet another person. My goal, my vision, my intent. The only thing we knew of as failure of my investment advisor, Scott Sangerman, was failure to sell. The market was imploding. But it was only after settling a FINRA arbitration, we had to settle, we had no client statements. RBC, the Royal Bank of Canada, refused to produce statements for the decade of my being an RBC, Royal Bank of Canada client online. Documents RBC had refused to produce were produced, but 5 months after the FINRA arbitration was settled, an encrypted CD containing 800 plus encrypted PDFs of documents showed the rest of the story investment clients do not see. And along with the encrypted PDFs and files was the repeated admonition, there is nothing you can do. Well, there was. Just outside the box of Wall Street, that is, and in these days and times of social media, one goes rogue, creative and social, sharing documents that tell truths Wall Street wants covered up. Share and share widely. In time as it was, papers bubbled up to the surface, albeit with a 2+ year delay, and into the records of state securities commissions, who signed on to a multi-state settlement investment clients and law enforcement were not told about. To this day, the studies, reports, surveys, the covering up agendas, the new agenda of being expanding into roles of banks into financial wellness, I say all that with scare quotes. The frauds were known. Nobody told the cops and the securities commissions when they were notified that this bank was settling for the behaviors of its RRs, registered representatives, and CAs, client associates, doing bad things without the front office in Minnesota knowing? What chance do we have? And do you really think things are going to change? Or do we really know that they're going to get smarter at covering these crimes up? Financial wellness. I have to laugh at that buzzword. It came out, I think, around the time of the yoga, meditation, the Om movement expanding. When Barron's top 100 editor, Matthew Barthel, introduced me to Don Bennett, Bennett Group Financial Services, the buzzword then in 2009 was holistic. I mean, it struck me as the odd multiple references in Miss Bennett's client pitch of holistic, not just for savings and investment, but for finding a new house and settling into new areas of living and working. I just didn't get it. I did get, though, when I was told that if I needed a trainer, that to help me. I met her. I was 200 plus pounds on a cane and losing my ability to walk, possibly. Miss Bennett's talking holistic financial management, but what pushed me to her was the promise of not the trainer, not the holistic, but that her victims, as we now know we are or were, and still are, I guess, that we had promise of access to J.P. Morgan's billions. Oh, yes, I did send that paperwork through to Jamie Dimon's office. Now you have an idea why Jamie collapsed J.P. Morgan Clearing, investment advisory firm and securities broker dealer in 2016. Accountability. Well, the survey says that more often than not, victims are pushed, sold, overpriced in-house products. Ms. Bennett pushed promises. The Bennett Group Financial Services monthly statements, well, were, as we now know, the SEC wrote it, the U.S. attorneys wrote it, fiction, pure fiction, presented to look pretty until she needed Peter to steal from Paul or from Paulette or from whomever would pull more cash into the Ponzi scheme as needed. This report, this annual report, puffs up the role of banks in the lives of customers, mitigating concerns of skills of digitally enabled customers, because in our culture, where everything can be arranged on a mobile phone, all of this comes down to one simple fact. We can't prepare. We have no idea where our money is, in whose hands, and who is behind the it of it all. We also are coming to realize that one day, poof, it can all be gone. Now, in the blush of the longest furlough of America's history, the SEC, the Securities and Exchange Commission, is reporting that it's struggling to prioritize the SEC, the Securities and Exchange Commission's actions faced with the SEC's backlog. I thought it was funny that I received firsthand a notice from the Securities and Exchange Commission of how they are handling the backlog. I received an email from the FOIA office, the Freedom of Information Act office, saying that the response I sent them was never received, but it was. The way forward, well, simple. Refile the FOIA as a new request rather than follow the Securities and Exchange Commission's recommendation of appealing the denial to a court. The SEC's other suggestions usually are appealing to NARA, the National Archives for Mediation. Let me explain it simply. I did the loop as directed just to go through the experience, knowing what the result might end up being as I was. Intentional delay tactic, intended to blow the balance and checks of statutes, getting the client past statutes, losing statutes. The security and exchange personnel priority is not written into handbooks Congress wrote for the agency. The industry blows past one word constantly, fiduciary. Do we really need to tell people that you have an obligation of fiduciary? Is it really a talking point? Isn't it a conversation between man himself and his God? Now, Gregory Maguire, he wrote the 1995 book Wicked. The young girl with her companions in that book is quoted in the first page of the epilogue saying, "Good friends, should we be wary of that storm?" Asking that question of the Tin Man, the Cowardly Lion, and the Straw Man. The Tin Man had said, "There is a witch on the horizon." Wall Street chasing the dollar, their eye on the dollar, not on the investment client. Wall Street is replete with witches on investors' horizon that investors do not see nor recognize to be the witches they are. Remember what Jamie Dimon said about Davos. It's where billionaires tell millionaires how the middle class feels. Please visit our websites, www.centerforcopyrightintegrity.com, www.thewallstreetwhistleblowers.com, please LinkedIn, and everyone, please share our podcast. Everyone knows at least one other person who's a victim of Wall Street crime. We can lift this matter together, this matter that is not in politics' forefront where it should be. From decades of misinformation of the SEC, Securities and Exchange Commission, and FINRA, the Financial Regulatory Authority, and the lawyers who do disservice to investment client victims, victimizing us twice, you work too hard for someone you thought was a friend to live the life you never dreamed of off your time and your dime. Make it a good one. Until next time. Fast, a good car, a good greening, a little fast, a road in here to my life.